Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Tuesday, the 28th of March in London. Coming up today, avoiding that pre-crisis high, Bailey suggests the Bank of England won't lift rates to pre-2008 levels. Torn to shreds, Israel's Netanyahu announces he is delaying a judicial overhaul to avoid a, quote, civil war. And cracks in a crypto empire. The US regulator accuses Binance and its CEO of sham compliance.
OneWeb puts the London listing on the launch pad. Commercial property, shaky foundations. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers, and I'm Leanne Gerrans.
Plus, worth a special journey? All eight of the UK's three-star Michelin restaurants retain their top-tier status.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast on Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Caroline Hepke. Here are the stories we're following today. Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey says that interest rates will probably remain below the highs seen before the financial crisis. In a speech at the London School of Economics, Bailey hinted that the bank is now nearing the end to its quickest series of hikes in three decades.
Even as we now respond to rising inflation by raising bank rates, interest rates will not necessarily have to return fully to and remain around the higher levels they once had.
Bailey spoke as new data showed that shop price inflation in the UK hit a record high this month. The British Retail Consortium says prices rose by 8.9% year on year in March. The Trade Association also says inflation in the sector is yet to peak. Meanwhile, on the banking crisis, the Bank of England governor warned that the online era is causing lightning quick bank runs. Andrew Bailey says there's a clear lesson for regulators from the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank.
In an age of social media, the speed at which runs can take place, and also, of course, in an age of digital banking, the speed at which the social media can be translated into loss. I mean, it is striking, that happened very quickly. And of course, you know, word gets around. So this is very different from the Northern Rock style queue outside the branch.
So striking, says Bailey. Well, SVB's UK unit suffered a rapid withdrawal of deposits earlier this month as concerns grew over the bank's viability. That led to HSBC stepping in to buy the British unit of the American lender for £1. Speaking yesterday, Anthony Shaw, HSBC's Australia CEO, said that the acquisition made great sense and had nothing to do with pressure from regulators. Over in the US, a top Fed official has described the banking system as sound and resilient. The Fed's vice chair for supervision, Michael Barr, made the comments in prepared remarks for a Senate Banking Committee hearing later today. Barr is leading a review of what led to Silicon Valley Bank's collapse and says that the lender's failure is a, quote, textbook case of mismanagement. And we'll bring you more on the hearings that begin in the US and the UK today into SVB with our senior finance editor Stefania Bianchi in just a moment. In other news, though, Israel's government has now delayed a plan to weaken the judiciary in the face of unprecedented protests. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced the climb down in a televised address in Hebrew.
When there's an opportunity to avoid civil war through dialogue, I, as Prime Minister, am taking a time out for dialogue. I give a real opportunity for a real dialogue. We insist on the need to bring about the necessary corrections in the legal system, and we are given an opportunity to achieve a broad consensus. This is a very worthy goal.
Netanyahu had been planning to give politicians power to choose judges, which opponents say would threaten Israel's democracy. The demonstrations have made history both in their scale and diversity, with CEOs, tech entrepreneurs, even members of the military expressing dissent. Binance and its CEO, Changpeng Zhao, are being sued by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The US regulator alleges the world's largest crypto exchange routinely broke American derivatives rules. Bloomberg's legal reporter, Ava Benny Morrison, sets out the case.
At the heart of this suit are allegations that Binance allowed US customers to trade on the international exchange when it wasn't registered with the CFTC. And in some cases, it even encouraged US trading firms to trade through offshore entities to make it look like they were actually trading from outside of the US.
Responding to the allegations, Binance called the CFTC's lawsuit unexpected and disappointing. The CFTC are seeking a permanent injunction against Binance and CZ, as he's known, which would stop them from ever doing business in the country. And here in the UK, members of the Scottish Parliament will formally elect Scotland's new First Minister later today. Hamza Youssef beat Kate Forbes and Ash Regan by a slim margin in a ballot of Scottish National Party members. Youssef will become the first Muslim leader of a British nation and says that he will rally everyone around Scottish independence.
Over the last 5 weeks, we may have been competitors or supporters of different candidates. We are no longer Team Hamza or Team Ash or Team Kate. We are one team, and we will be the team. We will be the generation that delivers independence for Scotland.
Hamza Youssef there. He succeeds Nicola Sturgeon as First Minister following her shock decision to step down from the job after 8 years in power. OK, those are a few of our top stories then for you this morning. Look, I have to contrast two issues. UK shop prices, the highest on record. Food prices actually rose by 15%, according to the British Retail Consortium. And they still haven't peaked, according to Helen Dickinson. So there's a concern around food prices, but also Michelin-starred restaurants. The UK's managed to retain 8 of those 3-star Michelin awards. They were handed out in an event that was live at the Silverstone racetrack, which is unusual, obviously, given pandemic, and the Michelin stars have been difficult to hand out in reality. So you've also seen 20 restaurants gain 1-star status across the UK and Ireland, 25 now with 2 stars, but 8 that still have 3 stars. Wonder how many of you have actually managed to get to a 3-star Michelin restaurant. Sketch in London, absolutely amazing decor and food, obviously. But yeah, there's a whole list on the Bloomberg Terminal if you fancy somewhere delightful to go for dinner. Okay, those are a few of the things that have caught my eye. But obviously, we also have to think about the hearings that are taking place in the UK and the United States that begin today. Two of the largest US bank failures ever, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Now the investigations into what went wrong begin. The Governor of the Bank of England, Andrew Bailey, will testify before the Treasury Committee in the UK on SVB UK. Then we have the US Senate Banking Committee and the House Financial Services Committee holding hearings in the US on Tuesday and Wednesday. Joining us now to discuss is Bloomberg's senior finance reporter, Stefania Bianchi. Thank you so much for being with me, Stefania. Let's start with Andrew Bailey then and SVB UK. Thought it was quite interesting that he released this letter saying that actually SVB UK had been under scrutiny by regulators for 18 to 24 months before the collapse, and that those issues were raised with US regulators. It clearly didn't work.
That's right. As you say, it's going to be an interesting week. I'm sure to learn a lot more about what went wrong at these two banks. First of all, we have Andrew Bailey raising these concerns. He said in a letter last week that really these concerns came about up to 2 years ago. And these concerns included concentration risk, the overlap of clients on the asset and liability side of the balance sheet. And all of these areas had already been under supervision before things, as we know now, really went wrong for SVB and for the UK unit of SVB.
Okay, so that's what's happening with the UK. But obviously the big focus will be also on the US hearings. So you've got three people, the Federal Reserve Vice Chair Michael Barr, Vice Chair for Supervision. You also have got the FDIC Chairman Martin Grunberg, and then the Treasury Undersecretary Nelly Liang will be testifying. They're going to get a grilling, aren't they?
They are, and we've already got some sense of what might be going on in those hearings. So we know now that Michael Barr, we've seen his prepared remarks that he's going to give in the committee hearing on Tuesday, and he says that they really need to start monitoring things closely in the banking system. And he said as well that they're prepared to use all of the tools for any size institution just to secure, I guess, the US banking system, but also the banking system at large. So, as you say, I'm sure there are going to be some tough questions in each of these hearings.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, does it hint at new regulation then?
Perhaps. I mean, it could lead to that. It seems clearly something needs to be done, having so much has happened within a short space of time. So it could be, as you say, new regulations, new measures for banks to really shore up capital and to make sure that this doesn't happen again and doesn't spread to the wider banking system.
Yeah, I think there are concerns about the spillover effect. They seem to have calmed at least today, but there are, other concerns. Charles Schwab, for example, unrealized losses on a balance sheet that, you know, has grown a great deal. I mean, there are other concerns around other banking institutions, are there?
There is. I mean, as you've seen, we saw in Europe towards the end of last week and yesterday, it seems Credit Suisse, things have been calmed there for now with the takeover from UBS. But then in recent days, we've seen Deutsche Bank. There have been a lot of movement in the bonds and the shares in Deutsche Bank. So really, I don't think we can say that we're out of the woods yet.
Mm. And just lastly, Stefania, how closely do you think that the US hearings are going to be heeded in the short term by markets?
I think they're going to be very closely watched. It's difficult to say at this point how much action will be taken, but I think people are going to be very interested to learn what was known about these banks and perhaps what could have been done to really prevent the most recent crisis in those lenders.
Yeah, absolutely. Stefania, thank you so much for being with us. Indeed, the Fed Vice Chair for Supervision, Michael Barr, in the prepared remarks saying we plan to propose a long-term debt requirement for large banks that are not systemically important. He also talks about enhancing the stress testing with multiple scenarios, so making the stress test more tricky, and also exploring changes to liquidity rules. So those were the comments in the prepared remarks from the Fed Vice Chair for Supervision, Michael Barr. That was Bloomberg senior finance editor Stefania Bianchi. So yes, hard to understand what's going to flow out of the hearings in the UK and the US, but they surely will be watched very closely in markets. Coming up in the next part of Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, OneWeb puts a London listing on the launch pad, commercial properties shaky foundations, and Americans reevaluate their values.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Now,
The Paper Review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
And joining me this morning is Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans. The Times has this headline, OneWeb Eutelsat on the launch pad for a secondary London listing. This would be a huge story. London's beaten down IPO market. Is it really going to happen?
Well, Caroline, I feel like you have a really good insight into this, and we're going to get into that a little bit later on in this story. But Caroline, if it does happen, it will be such good news, wouldn't it? As we know that London is facing the risk of losing its appeal for stock market listings. So according to the Times, a combined company of London's OneWeb and French satellite firm Eutelsat is set to list on the London Stock Exchange this year. The newspaper is reporting, of course, the move could help recover Britain's status as a real hotspot for these tech listings. Now, the Indian billionaire telecoms tycoon and executive chairman on OneWeb has told the newspaper a secondary listing was a commitment negotiated by ministers. So, Caroline, that would say it's got some legs in the game, or skin in the game, I know you like to say. But one thing I wanted to talk to you about was earlier this month. Remember, the UK chip designer Arm announced its decision to only list in New York, which was really controversial.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this, and also we should clarify, this is a secondary listing, right? Because Eutelsat is listed in Paris. So this would be an additional listing. And yet it would be very significant if that happened. I think you're right to point that out. The other story, though, that's intriguing, it sort of flows from all of the conversations that we've had around weakness in the banking sector. The Guardian's headline, could office blocks be the next big casualty of the banking crisis? Frankly, I think if it's in the Guardian newspaper, we're definitely concerned, aren't we?
Well, Caroline, I think concerns are really growing. And a lot of this comes from, of course, hybrid working and the pandemic and a lot of people not having to travel into offices and really businesses readjusting the way that people work and how often they have to commute. There's been lots of different factors. But The Guardian says investors fear a perfect storm is actually brewing in the property sector. So there's things like higher borrowing costs, weaker levels of economic growth, and actually fewer people working in offices after the pandemic. And according to the article in The Guardian, it says after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the UBS rescue of Credit Suisse, some city investors are worried the next phase of the crisis could really pile all this pressure on the commercial property market if banks rein in their lending to this part of the industry. So there we are, concerns really swelling. And I don't know if you've heard the phrase hotelification.
No, this is a new one on me, hotelification, but yes. I get it, right? It's where the lobby is immensely fancy and maybe there's a portal or something.
And I don't know if you've seen that, but I think, and the journalist really points us out so well in The Guardian, this is complete commonplace among executives trying to lure us back into the offices. So now there's fancy sofas,
yeah, it's got
flowers,
to be worth commuting
coffee
and
machines.
The money, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yes, of course. And also that point. So this is a real concern. But it seems like businesses haven't given up on getting people back into the city.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond. Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app, and Bloomberg.com. Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa device. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.